message. I came across a few quotes here that I'd like you to share with you this morning. The first one is found by Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung. And he said this, about a third of my cases are suffering from a clinically definable neurosis. No clinically definable neurosis, but from the senseless and emptiness of their lives. This can be described as general neurosis of our time. And some of you who know and have read about Carl Jung, he is a psychiatrist or psychologist, a very famous one in the past. Helen Keller, an American author who is also blind and deaf, also said this. She said, "Sick or well, blind or seeing, bond or free, we are here for a purpose, and however we are situated, we please God better with useful deeds than with prayers of pious resignation." And then finally, Oscar Wilde, an Irish poet and writer. Some of you in school probably had to read some of his stuff. Anyway, he said this, "In this world, there are only two tragedies. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it." And I think these authors, basically, three writers, was trying to warn us about the matter of how people will find happiness or success, and individuals who work hard and trying to be successful, okay, in life. But success, for many people you find, will not satisfy. In fact, by the time we get there, by the time they get to their success, they find out that it's not all that it was all cracked up to be. And it wasn't going to bring any peace or joy or contentment in their life, even if they fulfilled that part of what they're saying they're going to be successful. And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning, learning about how to find contentment in life. But that's kind of the underlying of what we're really talking about, because as you know that I'm continuing a series of studies on foundations of the faith. And in these sections of the foundation of faith, these are things that you and I as believers in Christ need to hang on to, because these are things that will help us as we go our life. So wherever you're walking and however you're walking, when you hold on to these foundations that we've been talking about, it'll help you in your walk with the Lord. I like what one writer wrote. He said this. He said, "You don't gain happiness by pursuing happiness. You become happy by pursuing God, who grants to us peace, love, and joy as a byproduct, as it were." And so when we want to find, you think about this. Think about the most joyous, happiest person that you may know. And when you think about that, are they the wealthiest people that you know? Probably not. Probably the happiest people you know are those who found something meaningful to do in life. In fact, actually, when I was preparing for this morning's message, the happiest person that I recall was a gentleman who actually works as a missionary in Africa. He lives in a hut. He doesn't have all the conveniences of life, but yet he is the most positive, the most enjoyable person to be around. Whenever you're in his presence and his wife's presence, you are always leaving feeling like you are more blessed than you came to try to help them or to be encouraging to them. They are so encouraging. They're so inviting. But you know what? Their riches are not here on this earth. They know that their riches are in heaven. But they're probably the most happiest people. Even when the times they would tell stories about how they would be riding in their boat in Africa and all of a sudden they pop a leak in it, they're still happy about it. They always look for the positiveness of the whole thing. And so that's just incredible how people do that. So this morning we're going to be looking about how important we can be successful in life. But in successful in life, it means that it's from God, and God provides it for us. So before we begin, let me go ahead and open us in a word of prayer. Would you bow with me? Excuse me. Okay. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to come to your house and to worship you. Thank you for those who are able to make it. I know some that are under the weather, but Lord, we know that you are the great physician, and you can heal us, And Lord, you have a reason why you allow us to be in situations and what we're at right now. But Lord, we pray this morning that you help all of us this morning. And those who are not here, we pray that you would just touch their bodies and heal it. Because Lord, you know that you have a purpose for them. And I pray, Father, through this morning's message and the time that we have together, that each of us would realize what that purpose is and what that plan is, and that, Lord, we may be able to find contentment, because that's what you have created us to be. So thank you, Father, for this morning and the privilege we have to be together. And Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name you would be honored and glorified. Pray, Father, this morning that for myself, as I'm sharing, that you would give me strength and to be able to share your truth. As I'm always reminded, Lord, in your word, that when we are at our weakest, that is when you become your strongest. And so, Lord, help us to just let you come through. Help us to hear what you have to say. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. That's enough. All right. We were all created by God. I think we're pretty much in there. And being created by God is basically to invest our lives in something greater than ourselves, in something outside of ourselves. We cannot find meaning in life if we focus solely on us, ourselves. But God has created you and me to be something greater than what we are and who we are. In fact, actually, in a lot of ways, I'll use a fancy word, but you'll probably hear it in Christianity, is that finding God's will, or doing God's will. Or Henry Blackaby would always say that you are doing the assignment of God, that God gives us assignment. God gives us meaning. God gives us purpose. God gives us satisfaction. And for all those, we ought to be looking to God to help us so that we know what God's plan, purpose, will, or assignment, whatever word you want to use, so for our life. And I believe that the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Christians in Rome, is telling us what are some of those things. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, if you haven't done so already. Romans chapter 12, and that's the book right after the book of Acts. And as you're turning there, for some of you, we're going to be looking at verses 4 to 8 this morning. And just kind of briefly, in Romans, the book of Romans, if you remember, I've shared before, Romans is an incredible book and is divided into two parts. Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11 talks a lot about doctrine, a lot about theology, a lot about how we are and how God created us and all those purposes of what it is. And in chapters 12, which we're beginning into, all the way to chapter 16, you find that it's the practical side. How do we apply everything from chapters 1 to 11 into our lives is found in chapters 12 to 16. So we want to kind of just jump right into chapter 12. Basically, it's going to help us to understand our assignment. The verses 1 to 3 is basically speaking about the prerequisites in order for fulfilling that assignment, that purpose, that will that God has for us. So, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 4 to verse 8 for this morning, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Beginning in verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Let me say that we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts this morning. And each one of us has been given a gift. Now, There has a lot been differing of opinions about that. But the main reason why there's differing opinions about spiritual gift is because the Bible, and I'm going to just generalize this. So some of you who are sitting out here who are very biblical theologians, who know the Word of God very well, let me just give you a simple answer. So you'll probably think that for you theologians this is too general. But the reason why there's different opinions about spiritual gifts is this. The Bible is not, the Bible has not made the subject of spiritual gifts crystal clear. Okay? I know that's central. That's general, I should say. However, for all the diversity of opinions around that you may hear about spiritual gifts, some focus on it so much, some don't focus it at all, and some is in between. But the whole point is that everyone does agree on this. And one of the core things that, first of all, spiritual gifts are from God. And second of all, spiritual gifts are given by God, which God the Holy Spirit, to each one of his children in the body of Christ for the purpose of helping others. Okay? So that's basically what spiritual gifts are. And I know that some will have differing opinions. That's okay. But our focus this morning is that who is the one who gave it to us? And what are we supposed to do with the spiritual gifts God has given to us, okay? And that's basically what we're going to do. So the primary point that I'm trying to make this morning is that every Christian is responsible to use their spiritual gifts. And one of the core things that you see is that when we know it's for God, and we know it's from God, I should say, and each of us is given at least one spiritual gift, the purpose of spiritual gifts for the key is to serve others. As you know, this beginning of this first year, I've been really emphasizing on the purpose, what is ministry? And ministry is serving others, thinking of other people, helping them meet the needs of others. And I believe what Paul is getting at in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, and is that we can get an understanding of three important facts as to why God, the Holy Spirit, gives each Christian, each believer, spiritual gifts. So let's begin. And I have a little bit long one in information here, but hopefully that'll help us in our understanding of what God has in mind through Paul to help us in meeting our purpose as well as our what God has intent for our life. The first thing we see is that the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts so that we can work and serve God together. Let me repeat that again. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts so we can work and serve God together. Paul uses the concept of the human body to teach Christians how we should live and work. Just as parts of the body function under direction of the brain, so the Christian are to work together under the command and authority of Jesus Christ. Colossians is very clear. It talks about that who is the head of the church and who is head of the body. It's not the pastors or the elders or the deacons. It's Jesus Christ. He is the head. And so in verses 4 and 5, Paul is using the human body as an analogy to help us to understand our responsibility of using the gifts God has given to us. And it's to help one another. There are two central truths here that helps us to understand that, both general and universal, in universal and locally, whatever church we're a part of. We're a part of the universal church, we're a part of the local church. We talked about that before. But how do we use that? Well, a couple things here that you'll find. First of all, the church body is composed of many members. So universally, all colors, all shapes, all languages, how all good-looking, all okay. But the whole point about it is that we're all composed of different many members. Just as various parts in our body, there's many different types of parts in our body that makes us function. You know, we all can't be an eyeball. We can't all be an arm or an elbow. There's many of us. And the body of Christ, universally as well as locally, are many different people. And then second of all, the church members are interrelated. So we are the church, we are the people, and we are interrelated. Just like the human body, everything is interrelated. In order for us to walk from this building to that building, there has to be a lot of things functioning in order for us to get from this room over to the fellowship hall, right? And in fact, actually, I was reading while I was preparing for the message. I didn't plan on getting into it, but it's like, you know how many muscles it takes to actually pick up something from the table and put it into your mouth and to chew it and then to break it down and send it down into your stomach? I'm going to stop right there because I don't think I want to get too gross after what happens afterwards. But anyway, but the whole point about it is that there's a lot of muscle and we're all interrelated. You and I cannot escape the responsibility. God expects you and I to help one another out. God expects you and I to take personal responsibility of serving other people. That is why I'm saying is that God created us for something greater than ourselves, greater than who we are, but greater for something outside, okay? So, pastors and elders and church leaders of this church are not to do all the work. All of us is supposed to do the work. All of us is gifted to do certain things, okay? And we are to help train others to do the work of serving and ministering. And that's what pastors and elders and leaders are here for, is to help one another in training to serve God and to help one another in ministering to one another. Basically, the Holy Spirit has placed us all together for a purpose, and that purpose is to help us to understand that we are an organism, not an organization. Humanly, right? Our body is not an organization. It is an organism. The church is an organism. We're interrelated. We become the members of the body of Christ when we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. And when we are to work and serve Jesus Christ together. And people in this congregation, when we see someone in need, we need to be one of the first few to get over there and find out and help whoever's in need. That is what ministry is about. That ministry is not standing up here and so everyone can see me. Ministry is not so that your name can be plastered on the PowerPoint or everyone can see what you're doing. Ministry is helping people. It may be small, it may be large. But we should be humble enough to realize that it's because what God has done and it is our responsibility to do that. So let me ask you, when was the last time you stopped and either wrote an email, text a message? I'm not asking you to do that right now because actually your phone should be back there in the cell phone daycare. But later on today, when was the last time? Think about that. When was the last time you actually sent an email, a text message, or even called, or even this novelty thing of actually writing a letter and sending it through the United States Postal Service? And you actually thanked them and showed how much you appreciated them. When was it the last time you actually thanked somebody? Let me bring it down even closer. When was the last time you said thank you to somebody in our church, in our congregation? How much you appreciate them for whatever they've done for the Lord? Let me challenge you this week. Now, some of you... how many of you read this week and shared your Bible of what you read this week? How many of you? Oh, you just did it last week and that was it, huh? Okay, I said you should continue doing it, okay? Anyway, let me give you a new challenge. Think of somebody this week. Maybe think of one each day for the next 5 days. Take it as a thank you challenge to thank somebody in the church this week for whatever God places on your heart. And share with them, thank you for this or that or whoever, okay? Just think about that. Email, a card. Don't have to even send it to me. I'm just saying someone else. But it encourages one another, and that's ministry too. That is a ministry of encouragement to others. So how much have you appreciated someone? And let me just take it one step further. For the next 7 days, every time you pray, thank God for all he's done. I guarantee you, well, actually God guarantees it, but think about this. If you spent your day in the morning, before you go to work or go to school or whatever you start doing, spend the first 10 minutes thanking God, just thanking Him for everything you can think of. And I guarantee you, or I'm sure you can think of, for 10 minutes, you will not run out of things to thank Jesus Christ about or for. Really. You have so much to be thankful. We should be the most thankful people in all the world. And it shouldn't be just Thanksgiving in November. It should be regularly. Okay? So let me challenge you that. That's not even in my notes. All right. Second of all, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts to build up the church. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts to build up the church. Now, let me ask you the question. Who is the church, or what is the church? The church is not this building, isn't it? It is not Home of Christ Church, or the Baptist Church down the street, or the Presbyterian Church down over the other street, or it's not the Church of Christ over there. The church is you and me. People make the church. Yeah, we meet at congregate in one building. We congregate in local denominations. We congregate in local places. But the whole purpose is to build up one another that God has placed right here. That is our responsibility, to help one another. And to use them effectively, we must realize a few things here as the body of Christ. First of all, that all gifts and abilities come from God. We already kind of said that already, so I'll move on. Second, understand that not everyone has the same gift. Not everyone is gifted to sing. I know, that's amazing, huh? But we should all sing because we should praise the Lord. But some of us are more gifted than others. That's why I usually ask Howard to turn the mic off when I sing during worship, because I don't want to scare all of you out this morning, okay? But there are some, like Paul, who have very gifted voices. I don't. But that's okay. I appreciate those who sing well. Third, know who we are and what we do best. Know what God has gifted you and go for it. If you know what you could do well, do it. Dedicate the gift to God's ministry and not to personal success. Because a lot of times when we feel that we can do it on our own and we can make money and do all these things, but realize it's not going to satisfy us. But when we give those gifts and talents God has given to us and focusing on building up the ministry of God, the body of Christ, God's going to bless it. And it may not see it here on this earth. But you know what? Scripture is very clear that tells us that, you know what? He keeps track. He's the one who's keeping track, and He's going to bless us for all the gift, all the things that we do in His name and for His glory. And then fifth, be willing to utilize our gifts wholeheartedly and not holding back anything from God's ministry. Basically giving our whole heart, giving everything we've got into whatever God has placed us to so we can honor and glorify Him. But it's unfortunate that one of the glaring weaknesses of the church today, and I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about churches in general as I've read and studied, is that it's a passive congregation. A passive congregation. Let me give you an illustration. There's an old description of this. In football, and you guys should be happy because I found a Stanford picture. For some of you who don't like Stanford, I apologize. Okay. But it's an old analogy that talks about a church. You think about this. 50,000, 60,000 people are sitting around the stadium, right, who probably need exercise. Right? They're probably sitting up there either eating their hot dogs, hamburgers, drinking beverages, yelling, screaming, and sitting there, maybe standing up, that need exercise. But think about it. In football, American football, 11 players probably need rest because they've exercised so much. That's a picture. And unfortunately, the church is more like this than we care to imagine. We have a responsibility. Many of us sit around and let everybody else do the work. When God's word clearly says that we ought to be involved in the ministry of the church. Think about all those people. If 50,000 people got involved and done something, probably a lot would be accomplished, wouldn't it? And think about the average in English congregation is between 40 and 50 every Sunday, except for today because we've been massively hit by viruses, but that's okay. But the whole point about it is that think of it if all 50 of us got up and started doing something for the Lord together. You don't think that we would make an impact in our little community of where we're at here in Saratoga or even in Cupertino? Man, I can see incredible things that God can do if all 50 has got up, banded together as brothers, and started doing something for the Lord. But it's sad that there's more churches today that are very passive. Few committed lay people get involved in serving the Lord. But see, God didn't have any other plan. He intended that the world would be reached by Christians, by believers. And his plan was that all those who know him as their heavenly Father would go out and share the truth, would go out and bring others into the fold to reach others for Jesus Christ. He didn't have any other plan. His major plan, and a plan that still works today, is you and me telling our friends, families, neighbors, uncles, aunts, those who understand the language we speak, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of us even live with those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. When was the last time you actually shared about Jesus Christ and what Jesus is sharing with and what doing in your life? You and I play a very important position. And that position is to share about Jesus. I like what 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says. He says this. He said, God has given each of you a gift and his great variety of spiritual gifts that he gave it to us. And he uses them to serve one another. We are to use the gift God has given to us to help someone else. And we should rejoice in the fact that even though we may not have a gift, and that's probably our weakness, but someone else is there to come and fulfill that spot, and we should cheer and rejoice and encourage them for those who do. Just as us, when we're doing the gift God has given to us, we would be encouraged by others. We talked about this a few weeks ago. The church is not a building, but it's people. The local church consists of people in a local community in which they are placed together, not by accident. You didn't just get here by accident. God has allowed you to come here. And the purpose is to care and to serve each other for the glory of God. How important are the people in the English congregation to you? I think each of you are very important to me. But just don't take my word for it. Find out what other people are doing. Find out what some of their needs. Find out what some of the incredible things that are happening in their life that they may hear from you. That you can encourage one another and build one another up. And maybe go out and find out that you might have some commonality. That you guys can get together and serve together and do something together and build one another up. That's what the body of Christ is. That's what the church is all about. That's what the English congregation of Home of Christ should be doing. Building up one another for Jesus Christ. Kind of got a little ahead of myself in time. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit gives each of us different spiritual gifts, but all are useful. I mean, think about this. If you were a toe in the human body, do you feel that you're important? Oh, yeah, you are. Think about this. Because of the toe injury, Patrick Willis of the 49ers had to retire. That's one of the reasons, but not one of the major reasons. But that got him thinking about it this week. It reminded him that he needed everything. You are very important. You may think you're insignificant because maybe you feel your giftedness is a small thing in the church. Maybe people don't even see what you do. But you are useful and you're important. Just the same as the person who's leading worship, standing up and being a leader of the church. You're just as important. Our gifts differ in nature, different in power, different in effectiveness. but according to God's wisdom and his graciousness, not according to our faith. So it doesn't mean that I have to have more faith in order to have my giftedness. No. God has already given it to you. You need to have faith to just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go and use it. I like what the English Standard Version puts it in verse 3. He says this, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. It means that God will give spiritual power necessary and appropriately to each person carrying out the responsibility. We cannot, by our own efforts, our own willpower, drum up more faith. We have all the faith God has given to us, more than we probably ever even use. It's just like what scientists tell us. We don't use hardly any of our brain power. But think about it. We hardly use the faith that God has already given to us. We haven't even taken advantage of all the things God has blessed you with. And you as Christians, including myself, we need to take advantage of it. God has blessed us so much. God has given us so much. Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to use that faith you have given to me. You know, it's interesting. The world, the ways of the world is all too often measured people against each other. Think about that. The world measures people against another person. How well we compete. How much better are we than the other person? That's how we measure ourselves. How much money we have in our bank accounts. How much property we own. How much things that we have. The latest technology that we have. People are measured by people. That's what the world standard is. Are we better than someone else? I mean, think about it. For example, students, right? Students, what is it? What do you judge against each other? Grades, right? That's why sometimes you have the valedictorian. You have all these. You're challenging against grades. When you get to be a senior, it's like what college you got into or what college you didn't get into. You're measured by that. In sports, they always it's designed to select the winner, right? And there's always a loser in sports activities, okay? Our economy and businesses are again, expression of our competition approach. Can we make more money than someone else? Can we get more sales than someone else? Can we achieve more than someone else? You know, our opinions of them are directly related to we comparing someone's skill to another. And that's, I think, our downfall. And when we bring that kind of attitude and activity, think that activity of thinking in the church, we lose. Because the responsibility of those of us in the church is to build one another up. You see, we don't compete. We cooperate. We serve together. Yes, there's some that can't do certain things. That's okay. That means then that someone who's behind the line should be able to come up and fulfill that need. And we cheer them on because we work together. That's what makes us different. That's what makes the church different. And unfortunately, that's why one of the reasons why the church is not making an impact in our world today is because we've allowed the world to get into the church and start making competition as we compete against other churches or compete within the church against other people because we can do this and that and you can't. And later on in the verse you find, in verses 5, 7 to 8, he's talking about all the things. If we're leaders, do it leadingly. If we're givers, give. If we're teaching, teach. If you're there serving, go serve. The problem of the church today is we're too passive. And I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about churches in general. This generation right now is so passive that we are not making an impact in our world today. Because we're so, what can you give me? Rather than what can we give to help others? That's what the body of Christ is about. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I don't know what God is giving me. Well, there's a number of ways of doing it. But, you know, if you don't know what it is, hang out with your friend and say, what do you do in the church? I usher. Okay, well, I'm going to try ushering and see if I'm good at that. Or, my friend, he does sound. I'll do sound. My friend plays an instrument. I'll try it. When I was in grade school, I had Chinese parents, and they forced me to go play instrument too, you know? You guys smiled. I know I said something right. I know. Okay. But the whole point about it is that whatever that giftedness is, or maybe you're trained at school to be a software engineer or designing things, you know, how to make a better mousetrap, whatever it is. Or maybe you're good in finances and money and you know how to count 1 + 1 = 2 and more. God has blessed you to do those things. Use it. Try it. Do it. There's other things. I have this long survey. My ministry team kind of got upset with me because I made them take a long time taking a survey. I actually have a shorter one now. But anyway, I won't. But the whole point about it is it helps you to find your spiritual gifts. But the question I want to leave with you is this. Are you willing to discover that spiritual gift God has empowered you or endowed you with and use it to help others in God's service? That is the question. Because if you want to find contentment, purpose in life, that's finding out what that spiritual gift is and to do it. Scripture is very clear. One of the things that people will agree on is when you find that spiritual gift, whatever it is, and this is from all across the board, so even if we have different, slightly different opinion about what spiritual gifts and how to get it is, all of us agree that when you have it, know your spiritual gift, and you're actually applying it, you will be content. You will find purpose in life. You may not gain all the money in the world, and it doesn't matter. Because when you find contentment, you're satisfied. So the first question most people ask when discussing about this topic is, which gift do I have and how can I know? And I've told you just a few things. And if you want to talk to me tomorrow, next week about this, or even later on, or shoot me an email, I can give you share with you how you take a spiritual survey. And helps you to find where some of the things you can begin start trying. If you do know, you can look at the bottom box in your at the conclusion and write down what is your primary spiritual gift. What is that spiritual gift God has given to you? Teaching, helping, serving, encouraging, whatever it is, write that down. And then write what's the secondary one. You have a primary or dominant one, and then you have a secondary one. Write that down. Because then you can start thinking, okay, I'm going to do that. But the question is this, are you using your gifts to help build up the body of Christ? That's the bottom line. Because when you do that, you will find contentment. And that's what God wants. God, in essence, I can even say it this way, that spiritual gifts, God commanded us to go use it. And if we don't use it, we're not going to be blessed. And I think all of us in here want to be blessed by God. We want to get all the goodness and things that God can give us. Well, if you want that, start building up the body of Christ. Start using your spiritual gifts. That's the key. Let's not be a passive congregation, a statistic that a lot of these people who does all the statistics and surveys do. Let's not be a passive congregation. Let's get involved with each other's life. And not just doing things together like, oh, hey, well, you know, I go play golf with Pastor Darren every Tuesday. I'm doing something special. No. What are you doing on that golf course? Are you sharing about Jesus to the other golfers? I know when you play golf, if you're a twosome, you're going to be joined by two other people. Share about Jesus. Maybe instead of going golf, maybe go out and bring some food to someone who's very ill that needs food to be brought to them. Maybe it's getting together and helping someone, maybe with their homework that you know that they're struggling with, you can probably help them. It's tax season. And maybe if you're an accountant or you're a CPA and you know how to do taxes and you know someone who's never done taxes before, especially if you're 18 and you got a job, you got to start doing taxes again. But it's pretty easy because you have the easy 1040. But anyway, that's another story. But the whole point is that you can ask them and they can help and be willing to help them. That's the key. Are you helping to build up the body of Christ? That's ministry. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for showing us the good things that can happen here at Home of Christ in Saratoga. When each of us discover and apply the giftness you have endowed in us for helping others. Help each person in this room to make the decision to focus on you and to use what you have given us in the area of giftedness to help others or another person here in this room for your glory. I also, Lord, want to pray for each person this week that's here or in part of our body, that, Lord, you would help us to show appreciation for one another, to make an effort to write a letter, an email, a text message, and share with that person how much they appreciated and how much you appreciate them. So, Father, I pray for each person. And in a few moments, Lord, we're going to be receiving the offering. And I pray, Father, that you would receive this offering as a gift from us to you to further your kingdom, your ministry here at HOC4. So we thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.